everybody, and a very pleasant evening to you, wherever you may be. Down here, we would greet you by saying good night, mate.
A little bearded body-legged beauty rises like a salmon out of the fresh summer stream.
At home, they call me Big Al, and I hit dingers.
Leaps over those pussies into the end zone for a touchdown.
It rocks, it rocks.
Lillard, long-range three.
It's good at the buzzer, Damian Lillard. Are you kidding me?
Welcome back
to We Watch Sports. This is the podcast that has been in quarantine so long that we have some serious manscaping to do. I am one of your hosts, Graham, and my beautiful, attractive counterpart, Andrew, is with us again today. And we are joined around the water cooler by none other than my dog, Nuke.
The manscaping is certainly a problem in quarantine. I think a good recommendation is, get somebody's eyes on it, get a second opinion before you go crazy, but, hack that shit off. It's summer.
Well, that's the problem. I'm having trouble getting anyone else's eyes on it because of the condition that it's in.
You're going to need like one of those like electron microscopes. Just really cut through all the noise.
It's like searching for the hose bib through the bushes.
You know that saying, it's a needle in a haystack? That's where we are.
Yeah. Mostly haystack.
Yeah. A lot of hay.
It's been a long time since we've talked, and by a long time, I mean not all that long.
Yeah, it hasn't been that long, but a lot has changed in the sports world. Unfortunately, not that much has changed in the quarantine world. We're still kind of stuck in quarantine, but despite the seemingly pretty apparent risks, sports are coming back.
Well, you can't get something that doesn't exist, so yeah. There's that.
We're going to actually transform this podcast. This is now a COVID deniers podcast. Masks? Who needs them?
If you keep testing, you're going to find more cases. Yeah. But if you stop testing, it'll all just go away.
Listen, you can't. It's like herpes. You can't get it twice.
But let's be honest. The real conspiracy here is that the Earth is flat.
Yeah. And that people still believe that in 2020 when we've been in space.
Yeah. Obviously, we know it's flat. Why would we be going to space if we didn't know that?
Yeah. Yeah. Elon Musk taking us to space.
We have some great news, don't we?
Yeah. We have a sponsor again, which after many legal battles, making sure that we bring, all the fans of We Watch Sports, which, side note, we should think of like a name for our fans. I don't know what it is right now, but we should think of one. We'll come back to that.
Why don't we have everyone tweet or Insta or social media?
Maybe write a letter.
Their choice. Yep. We respond really well to letters, especially if they have a good return address stamp that they got from their local bank.
Yeah, and if you put a wax seal on the back of that envelope, you better bet your bottom dollar I'm going to read that letter.
That screams attention.
Yeah, that screams attention to detail, and it also screams that you may have been passed up by the last 20 years or so.
Right. Yeah. You might think that most of our sponsors pulled out after our controversial statements that we made last time, but as a matter of fact, we just didn't want any because we thought that other people's money would be better spent, trying to help treat COVID or a lot of other things. So we actually denied a lot of sponsors for the past few weeks.
Yeah, you can only have so much money, right? At some point, the vault that I keep all my money in and swim around like Scrooge McDuck, it gets full. And, there's my various gold jewelry as well as all of the cash money floating around there.
Right. I really just needed a change because all of the germs and papers and everything that come from wiping your butt with dollar bills really was just making sitting a chore.
It was. Now, quick side note, as somebody that I know fancies carrying change, did you know that there's a change shortage right now in the United States because of COVID?
Really? Because I tried giving somebody a $20 bill today and they refused to take it.
Yeah. I saw a sign at Lowe's that said that they were not doing cash because there's a change shortage. So apparently they're having trouble making change, which if you've listened to this podcast, you know that we fancy ourselves 90-year-old men with change purses. So, you know, that, yep, that nickel is going to be worth more someday if we run out of nickels.
We demand that all of our sponsors pay us in gold Sacagawea quarters or dollars.
Our first piece of merchandise is actually going to be a change purse.
Obviously, yeah. And a bank calendar.
But no, we do have a sponsor this week. And, you know, it's interesting because at least for me, like one of the things that people are doing a lot more of with quarantine is you're trying to find things that are competitive and watching. Like a lot of people are watching Twitch and, you know, paying attention to video games.
Yep.
So we've actually got, I would argue, perhaps the biggest video game in the world as our sponsor this week.
From one of the great video game companies from the late 90s, early 2000s, yep, and previous, yeah. Meek. That's spelled M-E-C-C.
Yeah. Do you know, but what does that stand for? Do you know?
Yeah, it's Marble Energy Corporation Company.
Got it. That's what I thought. I was just right on the tip of my tongue. But you may have guessed, but our sponsor this week is the Oregon Trail. Now, Graham, I know when you play video games, you want like breathtaking graphics, right?
Correct.
Oregon Trail has it. I mean, okay. You are just convinced that you were in the middle of Kansas somewhere, just hanging on.
Right.
Now,
right.
Graham, I also know besides breathtaking graphics, you really like an immersive story that keeps you on the edge of your seat.
Correct. Yeah, yeah, the edge of my wooden wagon seat.
And guess what? That's the Oregon Trail. It's got it.
Oh.
Now, if you were like me, maybe you're wondering just how much buffalo meat you can carry back to your wagon.
I was wondering that, but I also don't care because I don't mind if it just spoils in the middle of the Great Plains.
It's 200 pounds. I learned that after shooting 12 buffalo that weighed somewhere around 6,000 pounds that I wasted quite a bit of food.
So
I could only carry back 200 pounds. Second,
was the limit actually 200 pounds?
When I was thinking about the Oregon Trail, I believe it was, which I never took into account, and I just shot anything that moved.
Yeah, because I think like one leg and shoulder of a buffalo is probably 200 pounds.
Yeah, so every time you shot six of them, you were leaving a lot to spoil, which, you know, back then when buffalo roamed free, you know, probably wasn't that big a deal. Now that we look back on it, maybe be a little more responsible.
Yeah, maybe be a little more, you know, reduce, reuse, recycle. Yeah. Maybe this is, what's that buzzword that they talk about? Sustainable.
Sustainable.
Maybe do a little more sustainable hunting.
I thought you were going to say vegan hunting. Vegan.
Right.
Vegan,
vegan hunting. Yeah. Anyway.
But it's the Oregon Trail, which.
There's a whole reason that I moved to Oregon, and that's because of my love for the Oregon Trail.
Now,
which you knew.
Yeah. Now, let me ask you, if it comes to a river when you have to cross it, are you going to try and forge your way across it, or are you going to pay the money to float the river safely?
If there is a ferry available, I always take the ferry.
Really? You play it pretty conservatively then?
Well, there's very rarely a ferry available. I don't know if you knew that or not, but it only happens occasionally. But I also like to know how deep the river is first.
Yeah, it's about 2/3 of a horse deep.
Right. Yep. If it's above 2/3, I'm going to float that bad boy.
Can you just imagine for a second how horrifying it would be to be on a rickety wooden wagon with your entire family trying to cross a river?
I know from trying to build my own rafts when I was a kid to float on
of
the
course,
creek
that
is a bad idea.
Yeah, yeah. If you haven't tried to build a raft at some point in your life to float on the creek that absolutely has shards of glass in it, you really haven't lived.
I want to meet the kid that successfully builds a floatable raft on his first try.
Yeah, and ends up in like a different state.
Yeah. He'd be on the same leaderboard as that kid that floated away on his own hot air balloon a few years ago.
Yeah, yeah. They definitely would be. But the
idiot.
The Oregon Trail is a fantastic game. Obviously, like you said, made by Meek Programming. I think I usually chose to be the banker at the beginning because I like to have the extra money to play around with buying supplies.
I was always a doctor.
Yeah, that was the other choice.
That way I could, you know, you could take care of people that get dysentery inevitably.
It happens to the best of us. You can only do so much.
Did you ever play Oregon Trail 2?
I would assume I did. I know I played the Amazon Trail and the Yukon Trail.
So the thing about the Oregon Trail 2 that they brought in to really shake things up is that they started having morale.
What?
And if your morale got low, they would kick you out of the party and your game was over.
Okay, I have
so not only did you have to get people across America, they had to be happy when they got there.
Golly, can you imagine? That would be tough.
Fuck those guys.
Let me ask you.
I'm taking you to the west coast of America. Be happy when you get there.
If there was a tour that you could sign up for that you would spend 2 weeks traveling by horse to cover a big chunk of America, would you do it? Like if there was an Oregon Trail experience, would you sign up to do it? Like a dude ranch?
Nope.
Yeah.
Hashtag nope.
Yeah, I don't think I would either. I certainly wouldn't do the Amazon experience because that game was scary.
You know what I would do?
What's that?
I would watch a reality TV show that recreates the Oregon Trail.
I would watch that in a heartbeat. At this point, I've really lowered the bar of what I'm willing to watch on TV. Because there's, you know, there's just not a lot happening. So for me, as someone who is pretty much worked his way all the way through every episode of Seinfeld that's on Hulu, I'm looking for the next fun thing to watch.
Love is Blind just isn't doing it for you anymore.
No, no, I couldn't do that again. That one hurt me. That one hurt me because I definitely lost something. Like I lost IQ, points of my IQ. By watching all of that, and I regret it. I haven't gotten trapped by 90 Day Fiancé. A lot of people on the internet have really been into 90 Day Fiancé, and you know, it's the same old story. Those things never work out, but it's just like the Oregon Trail. Sometimes you just got to go for it.
And sometimes you die shitting your pants in the middle of nowhere.
So if you haven't, you know, purchased the Oregon Trail, what we'll need you to do is to, you know, travel back a little bit to, let's say, like 1998, and then you're going to buy a computer from that time, and then you're going to go on eBay, and you're going to find the disc, possibly a CD-ROM of Oregon Trail. You're going to hook all that up at your house, and you're going to play Oregon Trail because they're sponsoring the podcast this week.
How would you feel if I told you that I have an Oregon Trail disc in my home?
I think then all we need is a computer that can play discs still.
Yeah, there's the thing. I think it originally... No, I'm thinking of Wolfenstein.
Of course.
Wolfenstein had like four floppy disks that it came on.
Yeah.
And you had to wait for it to install, eject one, install the other.
And that whole file was probably 7 megabytes.
Right.
Yeah.
Let's move on to sports.
Let's move on to sports.
Speaking of sports...
Yeah.
Did you have the Larry Bird versus Michael Jordan computer game?
Absolutely. I also had, actually, I don't know if I had it, but I just really wanted the Bo Jackson like handheld game that was two games. So you would play football on one side, then you would flip it over and you would play baseball on the other. Great commercial.
Smart.
Wanted that game so bad, never had it.
So I thought the Larry Bird, Michael Jordan game was really fun until you lost the paper disc that was required to put in the code at the beginning.
Yep.
Oh, what? Whose idea was that?
It's not a great idea, to be fair. And, you know, it settles the age-old debate of who is better, Michael Jordan or Larry Bird. We know the answer is probably Michael Jordan.
Right. Yeah. I mean... Larry Bird doesn't have a lot of documentaries made about himself.
No, but he does have
a dedicated podcast about how terrible he is.
He does, on the other hand, though, have a great mullet. Like, he absolutely owned the look of, I either am an athlete or a plumber, and there's no in between.
He's a good guy.
Yeah, clearly. Seems like a great guy from Indiana. But the big news that we talked about at the very, very beginning is that the sports that you and I follow a lot, baseball and the NBA, are kind of back. Like, they're
yeah, it depends who you ask.
Yeah, but I mean, they're saying they're going to play. Now, we can get into, is this a good idea or not? They're playing a differently. Baseball is going to play 60 games instead of 162, so that's fun. And then they're going to play in empty stadiums, and they're going to just be kind of regional. So instead of playing like the teams you would normally play, they're changing the schedules up, so you're only going to play teams that are regionally near you. So that'll lead to some new and exciting matchups that we don't see that often. But then there's also, you know, one of my favorite things about baseball is when a manager, the coach of the team, runs out and gets ejected. We're not going to have that this year because they're not allowed to get within 6 feet of an umpire.
Yeah, they really used to get up right in somebody's face. I don't think that's going to happen this time because there's going to be, oh, what if they did it but with masks on? Is that okay?
I think that would be okay. I think the other, you know, thing that I personally worry about is I have loved double bubble bubblegum my entire life. And with baseball this year, they're not supposed to be spitting and chewing things as a way to kind of protect from the kind of mouth flare-ups of COVID-19. So I worry about that company's going to go out of business. They literally do one thing, and they make gum for baseball.
Yeah, they're really going to have to call in a marketing team and figure something out for Halloween because that's the only other time I see double bubble.
Yeah, and I, as someone that, you know, tries to at least once a year buy a tub of it from Costco, I just hope I can continue to do that.
Right. Yeah. Obviously.
So baseball will look normal. I think the NBA is the thing that's going to really surprise people. So they are sending all the NBA players and their families and the people that work for the NBA. They are all going to Disney, which is exciting. And they're going to be put in a bubble, and they are going to play in empty arenas in Orlando at Walt Disney World.
It's going to be like watching Double Dare all over again.
I heard Mark Summers is actually going to be there. He's coming off the bench for the Philadelphia 76ers.
And there's going to be some lady named Mo in a referee's outfit.
I'm rooting for the Blue Barracudas.
She's going to explain the rules before every game.
But I think,
let's go to Mo for the rules. Mo!
But I think what's crazy about this is that you are going to send multimillionaires to stay in Orlando family hotels on Disney property, and you are telling them they cannot leave for 2 months. I don't think that this is going to go well.
How can you really classify it as a bubble anymore if it's, gosh, how many people for one organization?
I mean, they
at least 20 to 30.
Yeah, I mean, they tested just the players this week, and I think it was 310 players were tested. So that's just players. Then you have to test their families and the trainers and the coaches and the front office people. And then they're bringing in like barbers and chefs and entertainment for the NBA players because they're not allowed to leave the hotels. So, I mean, you just, it's going to be, you know, probably thousands of people that they're going to try and keep safe at Disney, which is not open right now. But then, it raises all the questions of, like, you know, who's going to sneak out first? Because really what you're doing is you're sending adults to sleepaway camp. So somebody's going to sneak out. I'm excited to know who that is. I want to know why they sneaked out.
If COVID was real, this would be a big problem.
Yeah.
So here's my question to you is, who do you think is going to be the first person to sneak out?
That's a great question. you know, I, as I've mentioned on this podcast, I live in Texas, so I hear a lot of stories about James Harden. That guy cannot go more than 24 hours without being at some strip club. So not a, that I think there's probably a lot of strip clubs in Orlando, but I think James Harden is my bet.
Lucky for him, the Disney princesses have nothing to do right now. So they've opened up their own club.
He's getting a lap dance from Princess Jasmine.
Please welcome to the stage. She doesn't have legs, but she's got a great set of breasts. Ariel! She walks out.
No, she's not going to walk out. She doesn't have legs.
And you hear she flops out. Climbs on that pole. Harden just beards up to the stage and starts throwing out. Well, there's no change. Well, I was gonna. I don't know what he.
Well, I mean, it's all the things that she collected. It's a whatsimacallit. It.
He just starts throwing forks onto the stage.
Can you imagine? He gets a lap dance from a 600-pound mermaid.
Like, here, baby, take some whoozits and whatsits.
You also sound strangely as your James Harden sounds strangely like Robert Goulet.
I literally have no idea what James Harden sounds.
Yeah, I couldn't tell you, but yeah, I think, you know, getting a lap dance from a mermaid is probably one of the subplots that I'm looking forward to. I'm also looking forward to, like, you know, if these guys are going to be at Disney, like, are they allowed to ride the rides?
Obviously. Yeah. If
so, if you're at Disney,
but is there a height limit? I know there's height.
Yeah, that's a good question. Yeah, but it's also like, you know, some of the rides are closed, like Splash Mountain right now. You know, if with the caveat, if COVID was real, Splash Mountain, where water is constantly recycled and people are yelling and screaming and spitting into the same water, it's been closed. So it's like, what ride do you go on? Space Mountain obviously is going to be a good one.
Anthony Davis's brow safari.
And then it's like, what loser of the NBA spends their time at Epcot? It's like, you get, here's the thing, if you've ever gone to all the Disney parks, you get conned because you're like, oh man, Epcot has like the giant ball. There are no rides at Epcot. Like,
that is a ride.
That's the
but
only.
It's not really
no,
a ride.
And I think that's like the only kind of ride. The rest of it is like, I mean, it's neat, I guess, but it's like different countries, and you go around like look at different stores. You're really just shopping the whole day,
which I enjoyed a lot when I was both. I went there when I was 13 and 18, okay, and I enjoyed it a lot both times.
Yeah.
However, I feel like if I went there now, I'd be disappointed.
I would enjoy it once, right? Like if you go and you're just now at Disney and you walk through. If you're at Disney for 3 months, like Epcot's gonna get old quick.
Oh yeah.
Now you know what I am gonna be doing though. Where I would spend my time if I was quarantined with the NBA players.
Okay, tell me.
Disney's The Animal Kingdom.
That is a great place.
Here's why. One, the last time I was there, they had a Lion King stage show, which was incredible. Two, I feel like it would give me an opportunity to meet a lot of animals, and there's no security or anything. I'm just going to hop the fence. I just got to be careful it's not a Harambe situation.
Right.
And you'd be first in line to get to like feed all the animals. They're going to need
help.
What
do you suppose is the, what's the over under of you picking up a lion cub and going,
whatever. I mean, I don't think it's a question of like, would I do it? It's a question of like how quickly, and it would probably take me 3 days.
Sure.
Yeah. I also would be first in line to throw a watermelon in a hippopotamus's mouth.
Just do it.
Yeah.
Bite it.
Yes.
Did you ever go to Discovery Cove while you were down there?
I don't think I did. I've heard good things.
That was pretty cool. The best part was actually afterwards when I discovered that there is a restaurant under the Shark Tank that just plays jazz music the entire
time.
Boy,
you were right at home.
Oh, that was great.
Was it a Rainforest Cafe?
It was a similar situation, but with real sharks.
Okay.
Instead of animatronic creeps.
In case you didn't know, not only are we not sure if COVID is real, we are anti-Rainforest Cafe.
Those are not real animals. Stop imprisoning robots.
Let them free.
Haven't you ever seen iRobot?
So both of them are restarting. You know, I think they're kind of starting towards the end of July. So we'll have, you know, some version of live sports to watch and to react to. You know, I don't know what to expect. I don't know how exciting it's going to be. I don't know if they'll even make it to the end of July to get there to play games with everything going on. But that's the plan as of today.
Boy.
Now, the other thing that got me thinking about sports coming back is that we've talked a lot about a team that we were very upset with, the Houston Astros. And
shame on
them.
They
cheated. And they cheated a lot. And we were excited to watch all season when people booed them and threw things at them and they got thrown at by other pitchers. And now there's been a lot that's happened in the world since they got caught cheating. And they're going to play in empty stadiums. So I think if anyone has benefited from COVID, it is the Houston Astros. So Graham, if they're not going to get booed by fans, what should their new punishment be?
Well, I think their new punishment is going to be ongoing, because what they're realizing is going to be the benefit to this whole situation is that they're going to be playing in front of nobody,
right,
which is going to benefit them both short term and long term, because no one's going to watch them when sports come back either. Unless you're
in
a diehard Houston Astros fan still. In that case, there's nothing I can do for you. Shame on you.
No, and I was hoping, I remember... This happened a long time ago, but I remember there was a minor league game, maybe it was major league, where the giveaway that night was AA batteries, and something controversial happened during the game, and so they had to take the teams off the field because the fans were throwing AA batteries onto the field. And I always felt that was an appropriate response for what the Houston Astros did. Like, I don't want anyone to, like, seriously get hurt, but if Jose Altuve gets pelted by 60 AA batteries, it's not the worst thing that's ever happened.
I'm totally stealing this joke.
Yeah.
Do you remember in basketball when
of course
they got in trouble on dozen egg night?
Yeah. Yeah.
What a shame for this to happen on dozen egg night.
What else would be a terrible thing to give away at a baseball game or like any sporting event?
I mean, any blunt throwable object.
Yeah. Well, in hockey, they throw squids on the ice, and octopi.
Yeah, rotten fish.
Yeah. So, I mean, that would be, like, it's like, what a shame for that to happen on salmon night.
Long John Silver's gave out free.
It's not even anything. It's just Long John Silver's.
Why did we bring this restaurant into the stadium?
When was the last time you ate at a Long John Silver's?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, it's been...
Wait. I do know that I ate at a Taco Bell that also had a Long John Silver's in it. Does that count?
Yeah, but I think if you're going to do that, you have to combine them. Like, I would get a taco, and then I would put a piece of fish in it. And then sprinkle the stuff that's at the bottom of the tray. You know how, like, Long John Silver's, you get the hush puppies, but then there's, like, the whole tray is just coated with, like, the tiny balls of fried dough. Right. I would sprinkle that into my taco.
Dang.
That would be good. I'd eat that.
Now, riddle me this, Texan.
Yeah.
Do they have Taco John's there?
No, but I've heard amazing things about Taco John's.
Really?
Yeah.
From who?
I listened to a podcast where one of the comedians is from South Dakota, and he talks a lot about Taco John's.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Potato Olays.
I don't know enough to know the names, but I do know that I've heard...
They're tater tots that they serve with all of their food.
Oh, my gosh.
It's like when we lived in Phoenix and Del Taco served French fries with everything.
I'm going to look up just for S&G. I'm going to pull up the old Google Maps. I'm going to see where the closest Taco John's is.
The only thing I really appreciate about Taco John's is they had a commercial for Christmas that... had Feliz Navidad, and they somehow managed to get their name into it.
That's nice. Graham, if you were going to guess, how far away do you think the nearest Taco John's is from Austin, Texas?
I bet there's one in Kansas.
Nope. I mean, there may be, but the closest one to me is in Arkansas.
Oh, touche.
It's only 8 hours away, 541 miles.
You can go get you some potato Olays.
I could. While we're here, let's just go ahead and look up where the nearest Long John Silver's is. Because that, I don't know the last time I had one. Oh, good. There's one only 5 miles away.
Oh, great. Yeah. You could go get some Blockbuster while
I could go there for dinner tonight. And it looks like it's a full Long John Silver's. It's not a Taco Bell one, which is a bit of a shame, but...
Maybe it's unaffiliated and it's just some random restaurant that was named Long John Silver's.
Yeah, it's like fallen out of public domain, so like now anyone can use it.
I don't have any hush puppies. Get out of here.
Why does everyone ask if we have hush puppies?
Stop coming here for that fast food deep fried shit.
Well,
get out of here.
There is a place that when you come to visit Austin, I'll have to take you. It's called Chicken Express. And right. Imagine a Long John Silver's and a Church's Chicken got together and served different types of fried chicken and fried fish, but also served the smallest sweet tea you can get, I think, is 64 ounces. And it does come with hush puppies.
Oh.
Yeah, it's really good.
No wonder Texans have COVID on the rise. They can't stay in their house. Yeah. They got to go out and get 64-ounce sweet tea.
That's the small.
Man.
They just give you a gallon jug and they poke a straw in the top of it. Because we still use plastic straws out here. None of that metal straw bullshit.
Back up your truck. I'll put the barrel of sweet tea in the back.
So yeah, I mean, I think the Astros, it's just going to be frustrating that they get away with it. Hopefully people like us continue to talk about it. And people that listen to this continue to ridicule anybody that you know that is a Houston Astros fan.
Conspiracy.
Now, the other thing that I read about, Graham, that I think really speaks to what you and I can bring to the table is that apparently Bovada, the online gambling website, because there's no sports and they still got to make a living, are now allowing people to vote on the weather.
Bet on the weather?
Yeah, I said vote. I meant to say bet. They can bet on the weather. So you can bet.
I wish we could vote on the weather.
Yeah.
I want sunshine today. No, we've had sunshine for 3 weeks. Let's get some rain. Let's put it to a vote.
And there's one person. I want a tornado.
Bring me a blizzard right now.
There's like one pervert in the back. How about a haboob?
Arnold Schwarzenegger just pops out in a Mr. Freeze costume and demands for ice.
Time to chill.
What killed the dinosaurs? The ice age.
As a side note, we need to just get drops that are just Arnold Schwarzenegger as Mr. Freeze.
It's his greatest film.
Yeah. So Bovada is letting you bet on the weather. And so you can bet if it's going to be warmer or colder than what the advertised temperature is going to be. You can bet on rain. A number of options. And I think what Bovada has failed to realize is that there is a group of people that were raised with kind of three truths in the world. You went to church on Sundays, you fry everything, and you swear by the Farmer's Almanac.
Ooh.
Graham, do you want to explain to people that may not know what a Farmer's Almanac exactly what it was?
It's basically a book that predicts the entire year's worth of weather and other random things, such as crop development, annual soybean yields.
Yeah, you got to have that in there.
But I don't know who writes this thing. I would assume it's the ghost of Nostradamus, but
I think it's everybody's grandparent gets together and they write it. Because if you think about trying to predict the weather for an entire year, that is just not feasible.
And I love that it just sells like hotcakes.
Yeah.
The month of December is basically Farmer's Almanac buying season.
Yeah. And usually you can find them at the checkout, in the checkout at a grocery store. If you have a Casey's gas and pizza near you, you'll obviously find them there. But it's a, it is a strange phenomenon that you can bet on the weather, but basically cheat because you're going to have the answers with the Farmer's Almanac.
In case you're looking for something new and updated from the year before, don't worry. They use the same cover every single year.
That book has looked the same my entire life.
I can see it. I can picture it in my head right now.
And I can also picture it like on the coffee table at my grandparents' house next to a bowl of hard candy. Like that was the reading material they had out for us.
Maybe Biff from like 50 years in the future came back and planted the Farmer's Almanac for us to bet on the weather on.
Do you think that if you're buying a Farmer's Almanac, you also need to buy at least half a pound of bulk hard candies?
Either bulk hard candies or dip your hand in that bulk jar of beef jerky.
Yeah. I was also thinking about maybe the root beer barrels.
Yeah.
Yeah. You could do that.
Yeah.
But
Dad's root beer.
Do you think betting on the weather is a good idea for anybody?
If you have such a severe gambling problem that you resort to betting on the weather, you probably needed help long before you started betting on the weather.
Who would be your lifeline, though? Like, if you were betting on the weather in the town you grew up in, and you were like, man, I just want to make sure this is right, who would you call to give you a suggestion? Who would be your phone-a-friend?
Ring, ring, ring. Hey, Dad, can you go outside for a minute?
Hey, tell me.
Just take a big whiff and let me know what you think. And he would be right every single damn time.
You think it's going to be hotter than 91 degrees tomorrow?
Dad, I got an over-under on 92.6. Let me know what you think. I'm forecasting late afternoon showers.
I'm betting on the dew point, Dad.
Really need you here, Pops.
Yeah, I think you have to call at the very least. Your dad would be able to help. I have a much older cousin, a cousin that's in his 50s, that basically lives off the grid. That's the guy I would call.
Anyone with farming experience is going to know exactly what's going to happen.
If the person is like my cousin that just shared on Facebook of how he's killed 4 raccoons in the last 4 nights that were trying to attack his chickens, that's the person you want to call.
Hey, that struggle is real.
Yeah, it has to be. So, if you're interested, you can go to Bovada and bet on the weather. I almost think, Graham, just for fun, you and I should bet something. Like, we should maybe bet on our hometowns and just bet, like, a small amount, because I don't want to sacrifice real money to this. But I think we'd know.
Well, it's pretty risky betting on Midwestern weather because of how often
it could change just like that.
You can get snow in the morning and rain in the evening, and then have to take your shirt off and go pick asparagus in the ditch across the road.
Do you pick asparagus? Is that how it's done?
Well, I mean, you cut it. You don't pick it necessarily.
I'm not sure.
I until I was probably in my 20s, I thought that the Hoarders were a family. And that was their last name, because my mom would always look across the road when somebody pulled up and started picking asparagus in our ditch. Oh, the Hoarders are back picking asparagus again.
Would you throw rocks at them or perhaps AA batteries?
No, but we would scoff intensely.
Yeah, I can see that. The Orthmans are known for their scoffing.
We're pretty good scoffers.
Yeah. Oh. You just hear a lot of, ugh, ugh.
Turns out she was referring to them hoarding the asparagus, and that's not actually their name.
Oh, of course. I thought that was. I thought that was French.
Hoarders.
So really, you know, aside from betting on the weather, really the big thing that you're going to be able to start betting on again is sports. And so I thought for what we should really focus on today is, you know, your virtual water cooler conversations of, you know, people are going to be talking about this. People are excited for these things to come back. We live in a rough time right now where anything that's distracting is probably a plus for most people. So we wanted to break down, like, what's going to happen.
So we've got 3 sports that are 2 that are coming back soon and 1 that is already back.
Right.
We have the NBA basketball, which is coming back soon. The MLB baseball, which is coming back soon. And soccer or football for those of you overseas and everywhere else but America.
Yeah.
that is already back and I have been enjoying thoroughly.
Well, I was going to say, I think it's... Do you want to talk a little bit about how soccer has been back? Like, how's that been?
The most fun part is seeing the development of the what they're calling the enhanced broadcast.
Okay.
So they'll take a game and they'll put a fan or a crowd audio track behind it.
That's exciting.
And you can, ESPN has decided that you can either watch the enhanced version with the crowd soundtrack or you can watch it just silently.
Okay.
And it's really nice, actually, because if I'm in the mood for, like, I don't know, if I was going to watch golf,
yeah,
you know, you watch golf to be relaxed,
yeah,
and just hang,
yeah,
out, maybe take a nap, I'll do the unenhanced version. But if I want to get into the game, I'll watch the enhanced one. But what's been fun is seeing the development of that, because the first couple of games that I watched, it was obvious that they were just simply playing the audio track to a previous game.
That's amazing.
So like when they would score a goal,
yeah,
in the game from the audio recording, they might just be kicking the ball nonchalantly down the pitch. And all of a sudden you'd hear, ah! But now they've started using, from what I understand, they trigger it and they use FIFA audio,
of course,
from the video game.
Wow. If
so, they can actually trigger it when something important happens, they'll increase the cheering.
If that game, that game couldn't get any better as is, now they're using it for,
right,
actual sports. And I think what's important to note is the reason we started with soccer or football is, Graham, do you know, after the United States, where we have the most listeners? Without looking it up, because I just looked it up.
South America.
Close. Luxembourg.
Right.
Yeah. Followed closely by Ireland, the United Kingdom, Puerto Rico, Australia, Russia, and the Netherlands.
Wow.
Yeah.
We have listeners in Russia?
Yeah. Less than 1%.
Auf Wiedersehen.
But I think that only shows that this is a global phenomenon, much like football.
I agree.
Yeah.
I'm glad that football's back, though. It's really given me something to think about other than my kids,
yeah,
screaming and yelling.
Yeah, and COVID. And
homeschooling. And,
yeah. Are you guys going to be homeschooling in the fall?
It's kind of looking like,
yeah,
it.
Yeah, that'll be good.
We'll see.
So football, a.k.a. soccer, it's back. They're already learning a bunch. The next one that's kind of gained the most momentum, what we were talking about a little bit earlier, is the NBA. So they're going to be playing basketball at Disney. What's interesting is that instead of, doing a new season, the NBA season that started back in September just has never finished. So they're going to restart the season with almost all the teams. They're going to play 8 games, and then they're going to go right into the playoffs. What I'm most excited about is that there's only like a certain number of courts that they can play on. And so there's going to be like 4 to 5 games a day. So if you want to like get a quick start on understanding the NBA, there's going to be a lot for you to watch.
Yeah. Answer me this. I haven't been paying attention as much as I probably should have. One of the cool things about soccer coming back is that a lot of the players that were injured had times to get healthy again and are now playing again, whereas they weren't expected to be playing this season. Is that the same case with basketball?
Yeah, I think there's a couple people that are coming back, but then there's also a few people that have already decided that they're not going to play for risk of injury.
Whoa.
So they're afraid that, in the NBA, your contract is guaranteed. So, and every player has the right to opt out of this like restarted season. So there's a few players that are either going to be free agents or, have some other financial incentive to not get hurt, that have decided that trying to like play 2/3 of a season, pause it for 3 months, and then try and ramp back up is too much of a risk. So they won't be playing.
Good water cooler question for when you're standing around the Zoom water,
yeah,
cooler. Hey, riddle me this, buddy. If you were a professional basketball player and you were already mathematically eliminated from participating in the playoffs, would you go play basketball?
Yeah. And that's what's one thing for us that's been interesting is one of our favorite players, Damian Lillard, that's exactly what he said is he's probably going to go, but he's not super thrilled about going to play 8 games and have to deal with all this quarantine and potential exposure to maybe not make the playoffs.
Right.
Which is a shame because they made the Western Conference Finals last year. So they're going to be at Disney. You know, they're going to be there with their families, which I think is great for most NBA players. But again, you're going to have the risk of people getting bored and, you know, there's still the risk of people getting sick. I think about 5% of the NBA players tested positive in the last week. So it's just going to be super strange. You know, they're going in the next week or two. They're going to have a few weeks to practice and get back in shape. And then they're going to play 8 games and then move right into the playoffs. So, I mean, it's going to be, you know, for the NBA, it's going to be super exciting just to see how quickly it happens and how people respond.
Do you think that, and maybe I should wait, but we can ask this question about baseball as well, but
yeah,
don't you feel like this is mostly financially motivated?
Absolutely it is. Yeah, there's, you know, the NBA makes a ton of money. All sports franchises, I guess, make a ton of money, but the NBA has made and will continue to make a lot of money. And for them, being able to put on games when nobody else is doing anything is, I'm sure, a huge financial incentive. And that goes directly to the owners and the league. It's not as much for the players who are under contracts. And then, you know, the thing it leaves out is that there's all, you know, the owners haven't been able to sell tickets to games. And so there's, you know, the tens of thousands of people that work at stadiums that are really, really poorly impacted by all of this because their jobs didn't come back.
Yeah. And I think because they have to be there for 2 months, right? Even after the thing is over.
I think 2 months is kind of on the low end. I mean, they're going to play potentially until like September, October. I mean, it's going to be, you know, they start at the end of July. It's probably 2 to 3 months.
Wow.
So the NBA will be back. And, you know, the last one, which just got announced, which we weren't sure if it was going to happen, was baseball.
Yeah, I'm still a little bit skeptical. I know they've come to a deal about it, but I don't know.
And it's going to be, you know, baseball is one of those things where it's going to be really strange because the thing that's, you know, I love about baseball is that for the most part, the game has been played the same way for the same amount of time for 70 years. And instead of playing 162 games from the end of March and through, you know, middle point of September, they're going to cram 60 games in between July and September. And then they're going to play the normal playoffs and World Series, hopefully in October. And then they're going to have their normal offseason and come back in March is the plan. And so, you know, playing, you know, one of the things that's interesting about baseball is that you have this long season, 162 games. And so, you know, things can kind of normalize when it comes to stats and how well teams do. Those normalize over time. And so teams that you thought would be good end up being good. Teams that are bad end up being bad. But with only 60 games, like there have been instances where teams have gone like 40-15 and then lose 40 of their next 50 games and end up like right in the middle. And so 60 games is not a lot of time in baseball. And so I think some weird stuff is going to happen. And you know, you already have a couple players that have elected for surgery this year, so they're just not going to play this season. You know, Noah Syndergaard is the one that comes to mind for the Mets. He decided instead of playing this weird season, he'd go ahead and get Tommy John surgery ahead of time. So he's going to be rehabbing. But it's going to be really, really strange. If you listen to our last podcast, you know that we love when pitchers hit home runs. Unfortunately, I believe pitchers are not hitting anymore. I think it's DH in both leagues.
Right. That's what I heard.
Which is a shame. I love when pitchers hit. So kind of bummed about that. But I'm actually, I think of the three we've talked about, baseball is the one I'm most excited for to come back.
Yeah, it'll be good. I mean, 60 games is going to be, it is what it is. They're probably, they're not going to do like an all-star break or anything, I'm guessing.
I mean, they're still doing I don't think they'll do an all-star game, but they're still going to do a trade deadline. That happens in August. So they'll play for a month and then the trade deadline's here. Normally the trade deadline is at the end of July after teams have played 90 games. You kind of know who you are. Now teams are going to play 20 and they're going to have to decide if they want to trade or not.
That could get fun.
Could get really fun. But I think the big question for like all of these, right? So football is back and kind of playing their normal season. The NBA is restarting their season, and baseball is starting really, really late and playing kind of a much shorter season. At the end of the day, like, someone is going to win, you know, the NBA championship, the World Series, or, you know, whatever league they're in soccer. Do these championships, do these titles count if they are won in such a weird time? Like, do they count the same as like a normal one would?
Yeah, that's a good question, especially, so I've been watching soccer, and in the English league, Liverpool was basically like two games away from winning their first title in 30 years before the lockdown. So they were kind of like a shoe-in. And then they just this past week won the league. So it's kind of like, oh, yeah, well, I mean, obviously they're going to win. But what I'm interested in seeing is some team that was maybe on the fringe of winning or was maybe not looking so great. If they come back and win it, I think it'd be really cool. It'd be fun, a lot of fun.
Yeah, and I think, you know, in the NBA, NBA is going to be weird because, you know, they're restarting. And so it's kind of set already for the most part, like who the really good teams are and who's going to make the playoffs. You know, once the playoffs happen, like anything can happen. These guys haven't played in 3 months. And, you know, but I think the one that's really going to be interesting is baseball, because it's, you know, if you're a team that's not great over 162 games, you're going to know that you're not great. 60 games, anything can happen. And so I think there's a chance that we see, you know, if teams struggle out of the gate, they may not make the playoffs, and teams that maybe start off really hot make the playoffs, and, you know, there's maybe some fun stuff that come out of it. But, you know, the NBA, I think that, you know, the title probably counts. You know, it's the same season. The MLB one is going to be the one that I think people debate, because it's not a, it's a third of a normal season.
And there wasn't any regular season played before quarantine, right?
No, they haven't done it. Yeah, they were just at spring training.
Like all teams,
I mean, they were
are
just
0-0. Whereas in the NBA and in soccer, they've got records and stuff. But
yeah, and I think too, you know, if you're at your virtual Zoom water cooler, like, this is the question to ask people, because you don't have to be. There's not a right or wrong answer to it. But people are going to debate this and be really passionate about it, and it's going to make you look like just the smartest sports fan by thinking about this kind of stuff.
Which brings me to my final question.
Okay.
Do you take the shortcut and float down the Dalles, or do you continue along the Oregon Trail and go the long route?
You know, I think if this podcast has taught me anything, it's that you always continue on the trail, and you take the long route, and you enjoy the sights along the way, perhaps along John Silver's.
Man, I don't think there's any better advice that I could give anyone.
Yeah. Yeah. If you ever see along John Silver's, stop your car, go in, take a year off your life.
Thank you to our sponsor, the Oregon Trail. It's not coming back out. Don't look for a reissue.
No, you have to go find the old one.
I need
like,
you
have to
purchase
actually go find
an Apple II.
Yeah.
Or one of those colored. That was not a racial slur, by the way.
Unbelievable.
A computer of color is what I meant to say.
Yeah.
And that's when Mac was really at its prime, when you got to choose what color of iMac you want.
Yeah, and it was like kind of see-through, but not really. Right. Yeah, translucent, yeah. I think is the
and
word.
And there was no white.
No. I think I always liked the green ones.
I think our school had blue, almost all blue.
Yeah. Well, you live and you learn. But thank you to the Oregon Trail. Fantastic game made by Meek Corporation. Use our discount code WeWatchSports to save 10% on the Oregon Trail.
If you can find it for sale. That discount code will absolutely work when you go to a CompUSA and purchase the Oregon Trail today. That's all for us. Join us around the water cooler next time, when we talk about snowboarding.